So you need your one. You can have it. Can I? Yes. Thank you. Do you need this to do it?
The Discovery Bay CSD regular board meeting is now called to order. Would everybody please stand and follow Director Lee?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was great, Kate.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect all members are present.
Okay, it's time for public comment, but I would like to make a comment before that. Anyone wishing to speak on an item on tonight's schedule, and some of that is the pool G1, I suggest you fill out a card, or I recommend, or fill out a card and bring it up so that we have some order of calling people in. Okay, moving on to the public comments. It's open. You may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. You'll have a 3-minute time limit. There will be no dialogue. Just a heads up, no dialogue between the board as it's not on the agenda and the law prohibits that. So I do have one card right now. That'd be Randy
LaForge.
Okay.
Hi everyone, my name is Randy LaForge, and I'm here on behalf of the pickleball players in Discovery Bay. And I haven't been in front of you for about a year, I think, now. The last time we met, you had approved that we eliminate the remaining Cornell Park tennis court and put in 4 pickleball courts. So since that time, we created a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We've been raising funds, because that was the agreement, there was no funds. And we've raised about $15,000 so far. It's going slow. So our request tonight, the 2 courts we have two permanent pickleball courts, and we need at least 4 more. The 2 courts we do have major cracks in them as well. So and the water seeps up every time it rains. So this has been a very rainy season. But the request we have tonight is, as you consider the pool, if there's any funds that we could have to build those pickleball courts, we would be very grateful. So that's what I'm here for. Thank you.
And also, if I can just add, it would be, I know you came to the last, I think, finance committee meeting, and I suggest you come to those as well.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay, I'll close public comments. Moving on to the consent calendar, I have a card from Bill Helfrich.
Your item consent C4, which is your advisory letter regarding the ability to take over land and some things. I agree with it, but I'm kind of going to be talking out of both sides of my mouth, because on item C5, I disagree with the ability to for your board to make an opinion that really covers what the people may or may not want regarding that proposition, or that bill that would lower the ability or make it easier to pass general obligation bonds and special taxes with a 55% vote as opposed to the 2/3 majority. And the problem I have with it is that when you laid out things, it says it can be used for water or to protect water quality. I hear tunnels when I see that, and making it easier to do the tunnels. It says it can be improvements to transportation, streets, and highways. I hear bullet train. I hear the train from Fresno to Bakersfield or nowhere to nowhere. I don't think we should be asking or making it easier for the legislature to pass bonds or to get bonds approved that we have to pay as taxpayers.
Okay, If I could hold off on the applause tonight, if I can ask for that, because there'll be a number of speakers, I'm sure, coming up, and that'll sure save time. Any other speakers on consent calendar C1 through 5? I'll close public comment. And does anyone wish to pull an item for further discussion? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move to approval of consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Supervisor Diane Berg is off the sleep.
Hello and good evening. So really quickly, the county is updating its general plan and zoning code. It's a project called Envision Contra Costa 2040, which is setting a path for the future of conservation and development in the unincorporated county for the next 20 years. To kick off to this process, the county is hosting a series of community meetings to listen to your ideas about the future of your community and issues that need to be addressed, and to help everyone understand the role and importance of these plans and the update process. So the general plan meeting, community meeting, is gonna be held here at the community center Wednesday, April 24th at 6 p.m. And I put a bunch of flyers in the back if anyone's interested in taking one or attending the community meeting. That's it.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
Sheriff's Office, Tony.
Last month, we had 463 calls for service with 42 reports taken. Traffic stops, we had 44 done by our officers with 9 sites written. The resident deputies for Discovery Bay were responsible for 231 of those calls for service. We also had 5 arrests made in Discovery Bay for last month. Looking over the reports taken for last month, as you can see, they were was increased a little bit from the month before because less, you know, a little bit better weather, so people were out and about. Property crimes were up, so bit of advice, take stuff out of your car at night, lock your doors, take the property out. If it's in plain view, please take it out of your car. They will break the window, they will put stuff out of your car. We did have some package of mail theft last month, so that seemed to be, looks like a little bit of an increase. A few of those were reported to us. And another thing I noticed too was a little bit of fraud. Basically, people are buying stuff or trying to purchase things through the internet and are getting like promised to buy a dog or some type of an item, giving money over but not getting the item. So be careful what you're buying on the internet. Anything else? Any questions you guys might have? I know you're gonna have long answers. Yes, sir.
Real quick, honey, who are you? Is the sheriff's department responsible for the park and ride?
I'm sorry, for the park and ride area?
Yeah, is that a county property or what is that?
Well, you're talking about any crime that happens on that?
Or anything. I noticed a trailer park there. Is that allowed for long term parking?
You can call the sheriff's department on that. We do have our community service officer that will handle any parking issues on that aspect, especially okay. If somebody's living on there.
Well, I don't know that, but I mean,
well, we have that 72-hour rule for the parking, so okay. At least put a tow tag on it.
All right, thank you.
Anything else, guys?
Thank you. All right, thanks, Tony. CHP, I do not see Officer Thomas, so let's skip that. And East Contra Costa Fire Protection, I don't see them, and they did get a note from Italian Chief Ross that they weren't going to be okay. Move on to F1, presentation, staff.
Dina?
Good evening. Tonight we're going to give the presentation of the financial audit. We do this audit every year, and Croce, Sanguinetti, and Vanderbeek perform the audit for us. Tonight we have Pauline Sanguinetti here to go through the audit with you and answer any questions that you might have. We are not going to ask for adoption tonight. We're going to let you look at it for 2 more weeks, and then the next board meeting, we will ask for adoption of then. Okay? All right, Pauline.
Good evening. Thanks, board, for having me here today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the audited financial statements, which I believe are you guys should have in front of you. So the first thing I'm going to go through is on page one. This is our independent auditor's report. So this is what we do all of our work for, is in order for us to issue an opinion on your financial statement. So we have issued an unmodified opinion, which is the highest level of assurance that we can give you as your auditors. It's a clean opinion. There are no material misstatements to your financial statements. So this is a very standard report. There is nothing out of the ordinary in this, so very standard language, which is, like I said, the best that you can receive. So this is what you've received in the past. So again, you've received it this year. So that's just a testament to, you know, the district. So then I want to go ahead and go on to, I'm not going to go through all 45 pages of this financial statement in a whole lot of detail, because I know you guys can take a look at it once I leave. And if you guys do have any questions, if you're looking through this in the next couple of weeks and you have questions, please feel free to call me. The first section of your financial statements is the management's discussion and analysis. This is a required part of your financial statements. What this section does is it goes through and kind of compares last year's information to this year's information. This is the only part of the statements that you see comparative data, because for government purposes, you're not required to have comparative statements. So the rest of your statements just show single year presentation. But in the management discussion analysis, it goes through and kind of gives you comparative, so you can see from last year to this year. So on page three, the first part goes through financial highlights, just kind of goes through a summary of that your district's net position increased by $557,000 during the year. And then also your total assets of the district, which were $69,473,000, with most of that being capital assets. As you do provide mostly water and sewer services, you have a lot of capital assets, so it makes sense that you would have the majority of your assets being capital assets. And then down below on the overview of the financial statements, it just goes through and explains that there are two types of financial reports or statements in this. One of them is on the basis of government-wide. They're called government-wide financial statements. That means there are full accrual. The other set is fund financial statements, which means there are modified accrual. So this goes through and kind of explains that there are these two types, and that's a requirement for government auditing standards. It's not something we come up with, it's something that we're required to do. So you guys do have two types of activities. You have governmental activities and business type activities. So your governmental activities are your community center, your light and landscaping districts, and your business type activities are your water and sewer funds. Continuing on to page five, this is your financial analysis on the government-wide basis. So again, full accrual. So for those in the for-profit world, you're used to seeing financial statements that are on accrual basis. This is comparable. So you'll see it's broken out by the governmental activities and business type activities. So your total assets for the year slightly decreased from last year to this year. Your liabilities also went down from last year to this year. So you had a total net position at the end of the year of the $46,890,000. That was an increase of $557,000 from the prior year. Again, most of that is invested in capital assets. So the unrestricted portion of that makes up about 36% of that. Your capital assets make up about 64% of that. Continuing on to this page six, it shows you comparative information regarding revenues and expenses. So you can see your information from last year to this year. It's again broken out by the two types of activities. So your total revenues for the year were the $11,322,000. That's an increase from last year to this year, about $1.2 million. And then your expenses also increased, which as revenues go up, your expenses will go up also. So they went up about $1.1 million. So again, you did have a positive change in your net position of the $557,000. Continuing on to page seven, just some graphs. Just kind of gives you some, you can see what makes up your revenue sources, whether that's property taxes, charges for services. This is in relation to your lighting, landscaping, 8 and 9, community center, those activities. On page eight, it shows you the business type activities, so this is water and sewer. So again, most of that is charges for services, which is your water and sewer rates for the year. So continuing on, I go flip through to page 10. Your capital assets, so again, you do have significant capital assets, as I spoke earlier. You did have some significant additions this year. You know, you finished the fluid filtration project, you had the water meter project that completed, you had purchased a generator, so it was various large items that got completed during this fiscal year. Continuing on to page 12, this starts our basic financial statements. So this just shows you, this is again full accrual. Again, single year presentation. So at the top, you have your total assets for the year is $69,473,000. Your total liabilities were the $22,582,000. So your total net position at the end of the year was the $46,890,000. Continuing to the statement of activities. So this shows your income and expenses for the year. Again, broken up by the different types of activities. And again, you have a change in your net position of the $557,000. You'll see for governmental activities, you had a loss of $103,000, but for business type activities, you did have a profit of $661,000. On page 14, this starts the fund-based financial statement. So this is modified accrual, which means you will see that there are no capital assets on these on this page or the subsequent pages. Because those aren't required to be included for modified accrual. There are also no accruals for like compensated absences for like accrued vacation. So those items are kind of reconciling items between this statement and then the government-wide statement. And those get reconciled down at the bottom, just so you can kind of understand how the report, how this ties to those prior pages. On page 15, this shows you the statements of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances for the governmental funds. So it shows you your general fund, your community center, Lion Landscaping Zone 8, and Lion Landscaping Zone 9. So total revenues for the year were the $1,239,000, and then your total expenditures were the $1,029,000. So you had a $210,000 excess of revenues over expenditures. Prior to any other transfers. So your net change in fund balances was $76,836. On page 16, this reconciles your the statements, like I said, from the fund-based and government-wide. On page 17, this is a statement of net position. So this is for your proprietary funds, which are your water and sewer and also your financing authority. And splits it out by current assets, non-current assets. So you had total assets and deferred outflows of resources of the $87,235,000. And then down below is your liabilities, broken out by current liabilities and non-current liabilities. Just as a reminder, non-current liabilities are anything in excess of a year. If you don't pay them, you know, that's something you're paying long-term. And then down below, you have your net position, which is broken out by your net investment in capital assets. And then your unrestricted, which is board designated and undesignated. So board designated is when you're setting aside funds in order to do future capital projects or future things for the district. On page 18, this is a statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in fund net position for the proprietary funds. Again, it's basically your income statement. So it shows your operating revenues at the top, operating expenses in the middle of the page. So you have operating income of $1,862,000. Then you had some non-operating revenues and expenses, for example, interest expense on the bonds. So you had net a change in net position of the $661,000 for the proprietary funds. On page 19, this is a statement of cash flows for those funds. So again, this shows you like cash in, cash out. So it kind of gives you a little bit better idea as far as on a cash basis if you wanted to see where the funds, how they were spent. So they have cash flows from operating activities, non-capital financing activities, and then the capital and related financing activities, and then investing activities. So you did have a decrease in your cash and investments for the year of about $761,000. So your cash and investments at the end of the year was $16,073,000. On page 20, this starts the notes to the basic financial statements. So I'm not going to go through all these. These are all pretty standard disclosures that you've received in the past. There really wasn't any change in any of these. No disclosures. The only part I'll highlight is on, let's see here, page 31. There was some new accounting pronouncements that came out, and then there's some that have not yet been adopted because they're not effective yet. One of the ones that's not effective yet is in regards to leases. You guys may have heard this in your other world of finance in that. There are two types of leases. There's operating leases and capital leases. Currently, capital leases are put on your balance sheet, and then there's an asset and there's a liability. You pay that amount, you know, annually, and then at the end of that, you own that asset. Operating leases are those leases where you lease a building or you're leasing an item that you're not going to own at the end of that, and you're just paying as you go. So the standards, the accounting standards have come out, and they revised those qualifications, and so now operating leases are going to be treated like capital leases, meaning if you enter into a lease that's over 12 months, you will now see that on your balance sheet. So it will be treated more similar to a capital lease. So just FYI, for this district, it's not a huge, doesn't affect you a huge amount, it's not a lot of leases, so, but just so you guys are aware that that's out there. And then on page 32 is note B, your cash and investments. Again, this is a required disclosure. Nothing's changed here. This just shows you your investments. So you have money in the Contra Costa County. You do have a small amount in a certificate of deposit. Continuing on page 36 is your, you have accounts receivable. You do have an allowance from a flexible account. It's about 15%. Of your receivable. Most of yours are collectible because you have the ability to turn somebody's water off and not provide service.
The weather.
So you don't have a huge uncollectibility issue. Continuing on, note D is interfund transfers. You do have transfers that happen between funds. They have to reimburse each other, for example, payroll items and whatnot. Page 38 is capital assets, note E. This just gives you the detail of what your capital assets are as far as equipment, buildings and improvement, office furniture and equipment, vehicles and whatnot. So continuing on page 39, long-term debt. So you do have some long-term debt. You have two bonds. So on page 40, you'll see that you do have the remaining balance due on that, and then the amount that's due currently that's within 1 year. And it just explains what the bonds are. And then on page 41, shows the maturities of that debt going forward. The district does have a deferred compensation plan, so that's required to be disclosed. That's in note G. Note H is compensated absences, so that's just accrued vacation. Note I is risk management. That's just you're a member of the special district's risk management authority. So that's how you're insured through your insurance. Note J is just the governing board as of June 30th of 2018. And then commitments and contingencies, just kind of a generic note as far as, you know, the district can be involved in litigation, but nothing that's to be a concern. And then note L is a subsequent event regarding a promissory note that was entered into with the Hoffman Land Development Company subsequent to year end. And then on the required supplementary information, this is your budget to actual for your lighting and landscaping zone 8. You're required to have a supplementary report on any special revenue fund which your lighting and landscaping zone 8 is, and so you're there, you have to compare the actual to budget. So that's what this statement is doing. And then we have our other independent auditor's report. This is stating that we performed our audit in accordance with government auditing standards. So this is where we perform some additional procedures in regards to internal control so that we're able to issue our opinion. Again, this was an unmodified opinion, clean opinion, so nothing of concern there. So overall, good report. So you may have any questions on that audit?
Not on the audit per se, but just maybe for the folks in the audience. How many public agencies does your firm perform audits?
So we perform audits for probably approximately 70 special districts. So that varies from community services districts like your size, fire districts, reclamation districts, other water districts. So we do about, I'd say about 70, could be 75.
All right, so lots of experience.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Any other question?
Good.
Thank you. You didn't cover every page, but you covered the key factors.
Everybody else.
I'm sure everybody here is a.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to item G.
If he wants comment, public comment.
I'm sorry, Bill, I'm sorry. Yes, please, public comment.
Thank you.
And tell me, before you do, Officer Thomas, we'll catch you after if we could, if you can hang around.
Can you go first if you're ready to leave?
No. Apologies, Bill.
No problem. Bill Helfrich, I live here in Discovery Bay. With respect to the financial statements, I've had a chance to sort of look through them and review them. I find them deficient in two categories. The clean opinion, based on Proposition 218, one of the specific things that you're allowed to do to have your community service district is that your revenue should be based on what your costs are. And now consistently over the years, you are having what I will call a positive cash flow, a profit, or that your revenues exceed your expenditures. And I can go over some of those numbers. For the water fund on page 18, the way I read it, there was a income in excess of expenditures of $536,000. For the sewer fund, $1,328,000. That was on page 18 of your financial statements. On page 19, it talked about the positive cash flow provided from operation. Talked about the water had $513,916. The sewer, $3,483,958. The other thing with respect to Zone 8 is when you budget, your budgets break out the community center and the Zone 8 landscaping. In your budget, you call it the recreation. In the financial statements, it's all lumped together. So as far as transparency to see what's actually happening with respect to the community center versus the landscaping, you can't tell. I mean, it just shows a slight positive number. But in your budgets for Zone 8, for 2017-18, because that's what your financial statements cover, you were showing budgeting revenue of about $630,000, expenditures of $455,456,000, and we're showing a positive cash flow of about $180,000. But for the community center, your revenues projected were $113,000 and expenses of $354,000. So that was showing a negative cash flow of about $244,000. I think that your financial statements should reflect the full information of what's going on inside of Zone 8, not being hidden and being the best kept secret in Discovery Bay. Finally, on page 47.
I'm sorry, looking.
47. They make a statement that whatever test they did didn't disclose any instances of non-compliance. And my question goes back to, what about the charges that are generating positive cash flow from the sewer and the water operation? When definitely Proposition 218, one of the provisions is that you shouldn't be able to charge more than it costs to produce. And I see I have a red light. I'll get out.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Any other public comment on this item? Okay, I will close public comment. And if I can bring up Officer Thomas to finish up his.
Correct.
Okay, we'll move back. Officer Thomas, love to hear from you. CHP.
Hello, Board. Officer Thomas and I drove, sorry for my tardiness. I was conducting a DUI evaluation out here a second ago. The activity that we had for last month in Discovery Bay, specifically here arrest-wise, was one DUI arrest for under the influence of marijuana, five DUI arrests for under the influence of alcohol, one arrest for warrant. one arrest for felony hit and run, one arrest for misdemeanor hit and run, one arrest for driving on suspended license for DUI, and one arrest for not having the intoximeter in the vehicle for DUI. Citation-wise out here in the Discovery Bay specifically here was 11 for speed, 2 for registration, 1 for stop sign violation, 1 seatbelt, 1 equipment violation, and 2 cell phones. The Bixler Road area, there was 4 for speed, 1 for registration, 1 seatbelt, and 1 cell phone. The area right over here, Highway 4 area, was 13 for speed, 4 registration, 1 seatbelt, 3 right-of-way violations, which would be the people using the turning lane to go straight through, 3 cell phones, and then 2 unsafe passing. That's what we had out here. Some of the people I stopped today, majority of them when I was out here, all residents again. One of the individuals I stopped today for speeding, going 15 over the speed limit, was a frequent caller of our office complaining about speed, and I actually stopped them. I stopped them in their driveway. We get a lot of complaints and everything about the issue of speed, stop signs. It's common everywhere. And I just kind of tried to reiterate that, you know, being that we're all community members here and stuff, try to take it upon ourselves and police ourselves and to be keepers of our neighbors too about, let's set examples, slow down a little bit, stop at the stop signs, and hopefully everyone else will start adjusting to that too. We are going to, I'm on a task force team we started at the beginning of the year. We're going to be out here, I think it's next month we'll be out here, and it's going to be, you're going to see, it'll be myself, we'll have a couple guys from OPPD, Pittsburgh PD, Antioch PD, out here. We're going to be hitting a lot of DCF, which is the speeding, stop signs, and matters such as that. So we try to float around different areas once a month, and then I got them to come out here for that time. So everyone should know, they wanted me to bring this up, paper plates on vehicles are no longer, if you have a paper plate, you're going to get stopped, and they're going to get the vehicle checked out, you know, there's expired registration or what have you. They should have those temporary license plates on, I'm sure we've all seen by now. And that's for all I have today. If you guys have any questions for me?
What's the date of your focus out here?
Just out of curiosity.
I wanted to tell my wife.
Yeah. It should be.
I just wanted to report what you heard.
Yes.
I mean,
it would be accurate about this.
It's either going to be the 16th of April. There's a couple days. The 21st.
That's good. Man. I was being more facetious than
anything. Yeah. I'll send you the dates specifically.
Thank you. Thank you, officer. Appreciate it.
And Officer Thomas, I want to thank you for your diligence on the Highway 4 and Discovery Bay Boulevard. I did it again last Wednesday where I came to a stop, started to go forward. There was a car approaching, had to be doing 60, probably greater than that. And had I not stopped, I see no way they could have stopped. So I see an accident waiting to happen. So yeah. If you keep your diligence up and cite these, and hopefully that will slow them down while the county takes a look at what can be done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to G1, which I think the majority of you are here for. You will be on my apology. The purpose of that. Okay.
Okay. This matter concerns the community center pool. And in your packet, you have a comprehensive staff report that was written. But we're going to throw some slides up. Bannon, here to throw those up there. Okay, on February 6, 2019, Terracon presented the board with a geotech report and a site survey, and they came up with 3 pool options with estimated costs. You can see them there on the slide. At that particular meeting, board meeting, the board requested further analysis and recommendations from the Park and Rec Committee and the Finance Committee. Bannon? The Park and Rec Committee meeting took place on February 20th, 2019, and determined that if a new pool is built, they would recommend the following, that they would choose the large L-shaped pool. That's with the larger leg, that option three, because that allowed for more aquatic programming choices, thus more potential for some cost recovery. And then the second part of the recommendation, that if we were to proceed with the new pool, that we revise the estimated project cost to $1.4 million. And the rationale there is the staff went through the Terracon report, looked at what some of their cost estimates are, added some, deleted some as not necessary up front, and added a 15% contingency and some other things. So staff's best estimated guess is $1.4 million. Ben. Finance Committee actually held two meetings. That was on March 7th and on March 25th of 2019. And that if the large L-shaped pool was built, what would be a recommended methodology for paying for this? And if that was to take place, the recommendation is to use Hoffman Settlement Funds down payment plus their first payment and interest, which is due in December. So we figured we'd get that before this pool was started. And that would amount to $820,500. And then the balance of $577.40 would be paid for with a 10-year loan from wastewater. That payback plan would mean $5,774 annually for 10 years. But that would still come up a little short. There'd be a $45,638 balance, and that balance could be paid with the remaining Hoffman interest if they were to make their payments over time, or to use community center reserves. So that's how we get to the total payback of $577.40.
Vanna? Excuse me, who's Vanna?
My assistant.
Is her name Anna?
So, estimated pool expenses and revenues. Operations and staffing expenses, the prior year was $84,765. The new pool was one, we estimate would be around $136,035, which shows that for operations and staffing expenses, that would amount to $51,250. As far as aquatic programming revenue, the estimated amounts for a new pool would be $83,500 if we expanded our programming and we looked at raising some rates, et cetera, where the prior amount was $21,678. So that's an increase in programming revenue projected, estimated, at $61,822. Variance between the revenue versus expenses is actually a potential improvement of $10,572. So that would be a decrease of 17% in expenses over revenue. Next slide. So here's the alternatives. Eliminate the pool, refurbish the pool, build a new pool. Now we can go forward tonight with the decision if that's the choice of the board, or we can, upon new information that may come in, table that to another meeting in the future. And I'm available to answer questions.
Okay, this is all filtered. That's good. Thank you. This is the time we usually ask for clarifying questions from the board. However, if it's agreeable with the board, I'd like to go right to public comments and hear what they have to say. Fine. Okay. Then we'll open it up for public comments. And the first person I have here is Avalon Everett.
Hello. I'm Avalon. I'm 13 and I've lived in Discovery Bay my whole life. And I'm here to ask you guys to vote yes on the pool. I'm just here to say a quick comment. So I know that we could use the Hoffman money to, I know that we could use the Hoffman money to invest in refurbishing or enhance other recreational facilities around the town. But I believe that investing into the pool would serve the most diverse demographic of Discovery Bay. There's little learn to swim classes for the younger kids, and then for ones a little bit older, there's like teams such as swim team and water polo, and for people such a little bit older than myself, could be hired as lifeguards. And then even for the older adults, they could enjoy water exercise classes or master swim. And I think one of the biggest things is that most people who live around Discovery Bay, if they don't have a pool themselves, they can take advantage of the pool and its recreational uses in its very hot summer. And thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Adeline. Next card I have is Joey Massor.
Massor. Good evening. The pool for the community center shouldn't be a decision taken lightly. This is a future investment. This isn't for quick money and get it done. This is going to provide the community with opportunities for decades to come. It will provide revenue for decades to come. Let's face it, you know, out here there's water recreational, there's some baseball teams and stuff like that, but there are many houses out here that are on the water that they don't have access to pool. Yes, they can run or swim in the Delta, but a lot of people like to do lap swimming and stuff like that. It serves lots of different demographics. It serves kids, it serves seniors, it serves regular adults, or grandparents, everybody can have access to that pool. There's been a lot of discussion about how, you know, it's too much of an investment and it's reckless or careless or anything like that. But all those same people had the same comments about when the community center was being discussed and when it was going to be either purchased or unpurchased. So here it is. What, how long has the place been bought? 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever it is. In that same time, the same people will be realizing it was a good investment for our kids and our community in the future for decades to come.
Okay, thank you, Joey. Joni Silva.
So my name is Joni, and I've been in Discovery Bay for 20 years. I'm actually celebrating 20 years teaching in Discovery Bay. So my expertise is usually board meetings, but I do appreciate the job you do. And right now I'm here to just, again, talk about the pool, but with the theme of community and my expertise being the little kids, but all the way up to our veteran community members. What a great opportunity we have right now to serve and build, as I mentioned, our community. My kids, my oldest is going off to college. She has served as a lifeguard here in the pool that we currently have. My kids, we took over to the Dolphins in Brentwood because we didn't have a swim team here at the time. My youngest is first year with River Otters because she wants to swim when she goes to Liberty and off. But back to serving our community, we can send them to Brentwood, or we can build what we have here, our young, all the way up to our veteran community members. We, with the schools, I know they do field trips and they go over to the aquatic park in Brentwood. What an amazing opportunity we would have to bring them here and service them within our hometown. Again, just supporting the community, the aspect of the kids, all the way up to our veterans.
Thank you, Joni. And the last card I have is right here.
How you guys doing? Thank you very much. Kind of taking a little bit more of an abstract view on it tonight. I was taught a long time ago that if you go somewhere, whether it's camping or elsewhere, you try to leave the place that you're at better than when you got there. That was kind of my inspiration for starting the River Otter 6 years ago, was I know someday I may die here, I may move from here, retire elsewhere, but I know if I do leave here someday, I will do everything that I could have in my own power to leave this place a better place than when I got here. And we should all do that as citizens. We should all volunteer. We should all do what it takes to leave the place that we call home, our community, a better than when we leave it someday, whether we die here and move on or we retire out. I challenge the board. You guys have a really even more powerful, unique opportunity to be pretty powerful within our community, just not with the pool, but with a lot of other options and a lot of decisions you make. But this is a big one. This is one that this pool, it's not going to be something that's just going to be here for 5 years. This is going to be here past most of us, you know, being in this community. So you have a really unique opportunity to put your stamp on your on your community and make this a better place than when you got here. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Now, with no cards, is there anyone else that would like to build help? I have first hand I saw, sorry.
I put a card in.
Oh, it may be. You've got, I think, every one of them on there. I'm trying to get this.
I just want to point out that all these numbers that you've seen as far as these costs, they're all estimates. You haven't gotten one bid. You don't know whether it's going to be $2 million when the bid comes in or $600,000. These are, you know, your $42,000 consultants who came up with a number, so you don't really know what you're getting. These estimates as far as extra revenue and extra costs, I've heard at all the meetings that they're somebody's best guess. There's not a real lot of accuracy in them at this point. Personally, I think that if you're really looking at doing the $1.4 million pool, that I think you're out of touch with the bulk of the people here at Discovery Bay. Personally, I'm against spending $1.4 million on the pool. I think you should fix the old pool. I've seen some pictures of it, even in the Terracon reports, and it was a pretty good looking pool. I would like to see the ability of this Hoffman money to use it for other things. We can increase our landscaping, get better landscaping. So you can subsidize the community center operation. It runs at a negative, what, $200,000-$300,000 a year. You could cover some of that cost, which would allow more money to go into the landscape. You can improve our parks. Cornell Park is our park. It's not a county park. We can improve the baseball facility, the fields themselves. There's a lot you can do with it. We can do with the tennis courts that need refixing. I think you could also use it to fix the community center itself. You can fix bathrooms, paving, lighting. It's important that I don't think you should put every dime you have into this pool. Back in early March, I did an open letter to your board, which you posted in your correspondence at last meeting. I had 48 responses that were not duplicates. I eliminated all duplicates of where people were, you know, responding two or three times to this issue. There were seven responses that weren't related at all to the issue. There were two responses that I couldn't tell whether they were for or against the pool. There were nine responses that were definitely in favor of spending the money on the pool. And there were 30 responses that were against spending all the money on the pool. They wanted to look for diverse spending. So I do believe that there is some need to consider more than just the need of the pool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Kim Alger. I've been a member of Discovery Bay now for about 8 years. And so I'm a little slow, so if I get this wrong, maybe you guys can help me. A little while ago, you just flashed a sign and it said our current revenue is $21,000 a year. And we're going to build this pool, and it's going to pop up to $87,000 a year. I think that's correct. We're going to have a $50,000 increase because you built the pool. In other words, build it, and they will come. But if they don't come, are we going to be running $50,000 a year negative? And if so, is that coming out of my tax money? That's what I would like to know. Where is that deficit going to be made up if they don't show?
That's it. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. Anybody else? Yes?
Thank you, Mike Ramsey. I'm also a resident here. This has been an interesting topic to follow on next door and other community forums, and it's sort of like the issue has gotten positioned as you're either in favor of supporting aquatics for competition swimming and training and having a community asset that's identified as part of this community, or you're in favor not of that but of these other diverse activities. I don't have a dog in this fight because I don't have kids that are young enough at this point in time to take advantage of it. And where I happen to live, we have a community pool. But it does seem to me that it's important to maintain what you already have. And as I try to follow the various meetings and the comments that are made in different forums, there are a number of assets that already have some issues that need to be attended to. And they either have not been attended to because there's insufficient funding for that, or there's insufficient interest for it. Given the folks that sit on this board and appear at community forums, I don't think it's an interest issue. And so my thought and comment is that if you do go forward with a pool, first of all, I think a pool is important. I don't know that a competition pool for this cost is what this community can afford. It's what we would all like, but like our own personal budgets, what we like and what we can afford are quite often very different. So my suggestion would be to support refurbishing the pool that we have had in the past, and as importantly, make sure that when that decision about a pool is made, at the same time you make decisions about funding the rehabilitation of any of the other assets we have, tennis courts, pickleball parks, that they deserve just as much attention. And so have a budget that does both of those if you're going to do pool. And secondly, as the previous speaker noted, I too am a little concerned after 32 years in government and working as a city manager and dealing with multi-hundred million dollar budgets, if this decision is based solely on an estimate, then hopefully you will make that decision to move forward contingent upon capping that expenditure so we know it can fit within what this community can afford. And if, like the bullet train, it's three or four times that amount and growing, then you have to come back and reconsider it. But don't leave it open. It's got to be something that fits this estimate, or we got to find another way to do something different. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, good evening. My name is Lisa Everett. I'm a resident here of Discovery Bay. I've been living here for about 20 years. I was super excited when the River Otters finally came to Discovery Bay 6 years ago. For the first time in 20 years, I felt like I was part of a community. It has brought together close to 100 families and all of their children. And again, for the first time, I felt like I was part of something rather than a community of commuters that come and go and drive to Brentwood multiple times a day to take their children to recreational activities. Last night, I had to drive my daughter to Freedom High School to swim. 45 minutes up, an hour practice there, 45 minutes back. That income is going to outside of our community. It impacts our quality of life. Our children aren't even getting home from swim practice now until 9:15, 9:30 at night, when they could be swimming here in our community. My daughter loves the swim team because she loves to swim. She loves the swimmers on the team. But more importantly, she loves hopping on her bike, riding the swim team, having that independence in our safe community, and riding her bike home from swim team. That makes her summer. There's been a few people who have spoke tonight about some different options, and I appreciate their views about trying to maintain all of our assets in our community, but I want to point out a couple of items about some of those comments. First, refurbishing the pool, investing $300,000 or so in that little puddle out there, I do not think would be a good investment. That pool does not allow appropriate programming. We can't swim laps in that pool, and I will be surprised if very many swimmers come back to a swim team of that small of size. We've limited the number of swimmers that we can bring in. Many of the kids progress and move on to larger pools already. The Brentwood swim teams, the high school swim teams, they've outgrown the pool. We have outgrown the pool. I do not think that would be a good investment of funds to refurbish the existing pool, and it's my understanding that it wouldn't even come with the full warranties. According to that meeting that I attended earlier in the year, the contractor couldn't even guarantee that that pool, reshaping it and rebuilding only parts of it, would have a good extended warranty. I also want to thank the Finance Committee for building in a very generous 15% contingency. That is a very fiscally responsible and large contingency to build in. So while we hope that the pool comes in at well under 1.4 million, that's a good cushion, folks. There's a good chance that it will come in at less than 1.4 million. So thank you for building in that buffer for us. I know it's a difficult decision. It is a lot of money, but I think it's an excellent investment in our community, in our kids, in our town. We don't have a lot of amenities here in town. I love Discovery Bay, but we don't have assets that families enjoy. So I would appreciate your vote yes for the pool. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Julie Elias. I have two kids, and both of them have been on the River Otters. Just real quick, some of the things that haven't been touched on. In conjunction with improving the pool and bringing the community more together, I believe the pool creates a cornerstone. It creates an image, and outside of Discovery Bay, already the River Otters have, we're small, but we're mighty. We've got a lot of heart, we've got a lot of passion. People see the Discovery Bay River Otters coming, and they know we're a team. We're something to be reckoned with. Not only does the River Otters help our community and our image, but it brings in revenue. We're right across the street from a mall that's always empty, that has businesses that are always advertising, empty space. We have restaurants, we have an ice cream, we have a gas station. A lot of these businesses would see a huge increase in, business, just with the families and the swim team, the meets that we would be able to have here, the teams that we would be able to build here. So it doesn't just affect a small amount of people with kids that are on the swim team. It affects the whole community and the revenue that's being brought into the community, including small business people. So it's, a benefit to just more than these families, it's a benefit to everyone, including, previously mentioned, young to old, master's programs, scuba programs, water aerobics, lessons. There are dozens and dozens of families that are going to Brentwood to get those services, even Livermore. All that revenue is not guaranteed, but there is a very, very strong chance that, when you set up a community cornerstone, I think they will come. I'm very convinced that they'll come. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Chris.
Good evening, board. Chris Steele here. Good evening. I just think that this is an investment in our community, and I think you need to do the balancing of our landscaping districts and continue. We have a lot of things to take care of as a community here, but I think tonight that this will help build help our home sales and property values and make more people want to live out here to fill up some of the houses that near our families are. So this is a great amenity to bring people in, and if you can do some financing or come up with a way to help not use all those funds but balance some of those other needs, like such as our pickleball and tennis and those things we've talked about. But I know it's a big decision, and thank you guys, thanks staff and everybody for all the fine-tuning the details. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Going once? Oh, come on then.
Hi, my name is
Carla. Wait till you get to the podium.
Oh,
if you can hear me, right? So my name is Carla. I'm a resident here in Discovery Bay. I think that there are a couple people here that have mentioned that there's other ways that we can also balance the budget and spend on other areas besides the pool. And that's something that I really would love you guys to consider. Landscaping, increasing our property value, looking at some of the parks that we currently have in place, making improvements there. Please consider those areas. I have over a dozen friends that are unable to attend because they are working and they're commuting, as well as my friends over here have additional people that are unable to be here and present to also voice their opinions in this area as well. So please consider that. I know that this room is full of a lot of kids and otters that are really wanting this pool and expansion. Refurbishing, I think, is great. It sounds like the river otters, or what, I don't know what they're called, have been doing fabulous with the pool that we have. So I think refurbishing might be a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Kathleen Neeson. I'm a registered nurse for John Muir in Concord. I've been a registered nurse for about 12 years now, working in cardiovascular progressive care and also the cardiovascular intensive care unit. Coming out here, I actually live in Brentwood. My kids swim for Discovery Bay because this is a community where there is very family oriented. We've tried some of the Brentwood leagues, but we keep coming back to the otters because we like the values that are here. Refurbishing the pool, you're going to turn away a lot of families, which we already have done in the past few seasons. Building this new pool, you're bringing in revenue, you're bringing in kids. As a registered nurse, all too often, the opiate epidemic is a huge issue right now. I am receiving patients who are under the age of 30 years old going for open heart surgery because of drugs. And you're giving these kids a path to have an opportunity to be in something positive, to have role models, to be a part of a team. Because these kids that I talked to, they didn't have that growing up. They don't have that opportunity. You're building a community and you want this to be a safe place. You're gonna have a better community that's safer, where you have kids that are in teams and wanting to be a part of something greater. So please really consider what you're setting these kids up for. Give them the right tools, give them the right path so they can be a part of something that's greater and support this community. Landscaping sounds great. Yeah, some grass out there for them to run around on, but give them something that they can be a part of that's gonna last a lifetime. Thank you for your time. I appreciate all of you, and go Otters.
Thank you, Jeff.
Going once, going twice. I'm going to go ahead and close public comments. Thank you all very much. They were very, very helpful in a second. It now comes back to the board for discussion.
I have a question of staff. I think for the public's information, the process, and I don't know how the vote is going to turn out, but just if we're voted to proceed to the next step, what is the next step on evaluating costs and things like that to get a closer number on it?
If you're referring to the option of building a new pool, you would do a design, engineering design, and pay for the engineering design to our consultant, and then submit it for RFP and wait and see what bids come back. But you would be out those design and engineering costs.
But the board would have another decision to make at that time. They could either go back to eliminate the pool or refurbish the pool. So we'd have the same discussion, but we would have actual numbers at that time, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
What's the cost of task with going out for RFP?
Well, we believe that the design would be about $65,000, rough estimate, and there may be other associated costs with having someone assist us with writing a good RFP. I don't know what that would be, maybe $5,000 or $10,000 or less.
Are those numbers in that 1391?
The design build stuff is, yes.
Is it? Thank you.
Well, exactly.
Are you ready?
Nope. Any other discussion? Questions?
I think the Finance Committee and the Park and Recreation Committee spent a lot of time looking at this issue from a number of perspectives. And I think what we're talking about here tonight isn't just a pool. It's not a puddle of water that's out there. It's going to be an aquatic center that can be used by the entire community, something that the toddlers could use and people with gray hair like me can use. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to recommend approval of process number 3 that's noted in the staff report. And I'd like to refer this matter to staff and the Park and Recreation Committee to develop a scope of work for design of a facility within the budget that's in, that is indicated in the staff report. And then when the committee and the staff are complete and they have a good handle on what the facility might entail and what the more precise costs might be, that we return to the full board.
Well, one is I'm not on the
board. That is a motion.
That was a motion.
Actually, it wasn't until now. Yes.
Well, let me make.
So I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Well, let me make a comment, and I'll see about a second. But I think the
no.
Okay.
We have a motion on the table. Is there a second? I will second it.
Now I'll make a comment.
A first and a second, now you can make your comment.
Okay. I think some of the information that the public brought forward was don't use the entire amount of the Hoffman funds to build this pool. We need to save some money for some other things. And I think I'm not on the Finance Committee, I'm not on the Park and Rec Committee. So reviewing the information that they've put together and after having two or three different meetings of coming up with a solution that retains quite a bit of the Hoffman funds for future use in other areas and comes up with a financing program that we can internally use and not have to go to a bank or something like that. I was very pleased with seeing that. So I'm in favor of the proposal to go out and get a firm bid and let the Park and Rec Committee work through that with staff and then see what happens and bring it back. So that's my comment.
I have a question with regards to the motion. And that is that it was commented, I believe, by Director Lee, that, so for clarification, you wanted the Park and Rec Committee to verify the cost. Could you do that again?
Yeah, let me see if I can restate my motion. My motion was that the Park and Recreation Committee, in conjunction with staff, develop a scope of work for the design of whatever that pool was going to look like. Generally, as we described with a little L shape, and let them come back with a scope of work for a design. And once that's completed, come back to the board for that approval of that work product. That work product will then come up with an estimated cost. And my hope is that the committee and the staff will bring back something working with the designer that works within the budgeted amounts that we've been talking about today.
So part of that would be that the Park and Rec Commission actually go through and issue the RFP or retain
we don't have the authority.
You'll have to come back to the board to approve the contract with the designer. So there's two steps with the board. The designer would have to design whatever the product would look like.
But how do we get it designed if we don't approve the monies to get the design?
Let me restate it again. The committee and the staff develop the scope of work for the designer. Come back with us. I assume it's going to be in the neighborhood of the number that we discussed.
Once that's completed, the designer goes away. Designs the product that is envisioned by the Park and Recreation Committee in conjunction with staff. Once that design work is completed, then we would have an estimate of what the construction cost would be. For not just a pool, but the entire aquatic center would be divided. So it's a two-step effort coming back to the board. One, to approve the designer, second, to decide whether we want to approve the pool or not.
So we got to get an RFP for a design firm. Bring that, have the recognition, bring that back to us.
Correct.
Okay.
Director Gritz.
As personally, and as the chairman of, or the director, or whatever I am of the Park and Rec Committee, the leader, can't remember my title. I don't have the knowledge to be able to put together a design that I can move forward with. I just don't have that kind of knowledge. I'm not a pool designer, I don't think I'm understanding.
I think working with a qualified design firm, they will guide you through the steps that are going to be necessary. And so it's not, you don't have to prepare the documents. The designer will prepare the documents.
So there is an expense
that's $60,000.
And that's part of what your motion includes, of giving staff the authorization to hire the design company.
Yeah, come back with a proposal. This is the design firm that you recommend. This is the design firm that, this is what their cost is going to be to do that. Come back to us, and if that's the number that's right, let's proceed. If it's not the right number, then we'll have another discussion.
The issue I have is, when this one initially came to conception, Terracon, when they did their evaluation of the site, only looked at expanding the pool in its existing location. And at no point have I seen anything that said that they evaluate the whole facility and to determine what is the highest and best location of the pool if we do expand it. And I don't understand why they did not do a complete soil survey of the entire facility and give more options, because to go forward with even the $60,000 for design, and that is not ultimately the best location for the pool, I'm not sure it makes sense either.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the quote design is at that spot. It's wherever they think it's the best use. You've got to figure out, and this is what designers do, it's like an architect when they do their programming.
Right.
You don't just say, okay, there's a hole in the ground there, that's where I have to put it. It's like, what do you need, and where's the best spot to do it? We know whatever we do, if we do anything, is probably going to be at this site somewhere. But that's for them to figure out.
But the Terracon soil analysis was only for the existing site, not for the entire community center.
Correct. So there may be costs associated with that.
So
they're going to have to bring that back and tell us what it is.
I would like to see a master plan for the community center to look at all the facilities in totality and determining where the highest and best location of the pool is, and then looking to what other additional costs that might come with that. They might say that the pool should be located in the far corner of the area, and we need to expand the parking lot, which might be additional costs. I think there's a lot of unknowns.
The unfortunate thing is the master plan is very expensive. So I don't mean to get too short of whatever. Okay, if I could, go ahead.
Yeah, we're willing to do whatever we're asked to do as a committee. I'm not trying to do any, but I just want clarity, that's all. And so I do want to reiterate the fact that the committee does not have the authority to expend funds. So if it is as a motion, then the fund should be included in that. If the board's going to give the committee the discretion to move forward with to get bids for a design company.
Get proposals with a cost.
Okay, we can work with staff on that. Staff, can you get together?
Okay, just for
I just want to make sure that we're not getting responsibility. We're not capable of handling.
I got it. Good point. Any other questions?
I think I got it now. So we're not authorizing expenditure of any funds at this point. we're just authorizing the recreation committee to work with staff to go solicit a proposal from some various pool designers and bring those back to the board to decide who we may want to have design the pool podium.
Right, so we're going to clarify the motion as this, is that the choice is to build a new pool. The motion is to build a new pool
Let me restate. We're looking as to how we might proceed. I'm not proposing that we've approved anything other than to get a proposal from a designer to say, I can design what I think you want for about this amount of money. The board would then, if it desires, approve it. Then the designer goes away and then comes back with a design that says, here's what I think you asked for, here's what I think it's going to cost.
So, hold the conference. Mr. Chair, I'll introduce myself since I'm not sitting at the dais. Rod Adver of the law firm of New Miller and Briefly, we're general counsel. This is such an important issue. It takes two attorneys here tonight to help you out through this. So, if I understand correctly, what you're contemplating is maybe a three-step process. The first step is to basically go out for an RFP, find somebody that's willing to design the pool as Terracon has kind of laid it out. Get an estimate from them as what it would cost to prepare the designs and the documents necessary to go out for an RFP. Before that contract is awarded, your motion is to bring that design contract, not spend a dollar other than staff time, not spend a dollar until you've got the design contract in front of you, you know it's going to cost $60,000, and you're going to take an action on that. If you then decided to design it, they would go out, spend the $60,000, design it. You would then come back after they did the design, and you would say, yes, now you can go out for an RFP. You'd go out for the RFP. The RFP would then deliver you bids that would tell you exact amounts of the cost of the pool. Is that what you're attempting to do with your motion?
Yes. We want to get design first. If we think we approve the design, then we would go out with the preparation of plans and specifications and go out with a request for proposals for a construction firm to build what is in the plans and specifications.
And so I think I get it.
Within the budget.
So directly, just so I'm clear, so what you're asking the Park and Rec, just so I know what my guidance is, what you're asking the Park and Rec Committee to do is to have staff bring us maybe two or three different design firms, review them, make sure we're comfortable with them so we can recommend one to the board. With that, at no cost, just we would like to move forward and this is what they tell us it's going to cost.
Correct.
Okay. I'm sorry. That was simpler than we made it.
So I think you went a little further. Counsel,
I just wanted
to actually, I would have gone. What I'm looking at is a proposal or a motion that's going to take, didn't choose any of the three, but let's proceed further with the possibility of seeing what the new build is. There have been comments from the audience, from the public, that said we have some estimates. Let's go see if we can move forward. There's costs associated, we'll review those. To determine what the actual cost is, a firm cost, that'll be a good starting point. But that's as far as this motion is going, right? And that'll come back to the board for discussion and possible decision. Okay? Any other questions?
You okay with that?
Yeah.
I'm okay. I understand it. Oh, thank you.
So, okay. Just so staff understands this.
Okay.
We're going to go out and we're going to solicit potential scope of works from two or three design pool design companies. We'll bring those back to the Park and Rec Committee, and then obtain a recommendation, bring it back to the board to decide, do they want to go forward based on the scope of work and cost to just design a pool that we think would fall within that budget?
That is my motion.
Okay.
That's your second.
They've already got a first and second. Okay. Are we ready to vote?
Well, I was kind of modified again. Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. So thank you. Thank you all for coming tonight. More to come. But the decision is a tough one. You being here
shows that, and we'll do our due diligence to make sure that as we move forward, we try to make the decision as soon as quickly. Okay. I would like to take a 5-minute recess just to take a lot of time around.
Well, we are for that time. It's coming through. Well, yeah. Have you looked at that? So you and I should get together talking. So I understand it. And I didn't recognize
it. Everybody settle in? Thank you. Yes.
Way to get control of the meeting, Mr. President.
Okay. All right. Moving on, manager report.
Holy moly.
We have no manager report.
None. Director's reports. We have two, water, wastewater. Director Keys.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, or President Mayor. For allowing me to give a presentation on the committee that you were on. Wastewater. We had a discussion on the MPDES permit and having issues with the ultraviolet light disinfecting and denitrification projects. These are big projects. We're moving ahead. We're hoping to be, we need to have this stuff done by December this 2020 and finish all the construction. Denitrification hopefully by September of 2022, which will allow us about 6 to 8 months to run the new facility and allow Veolia to make sure that all of the bugs are working.
Thank you, Director Pease.
Can I ask a question? How soon are we going to know whether which direction we need to go on D9?
They're working through that process right now. I would think, can't recall exactly, but within the next 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, the work is supposed to be done in July. It should be sometime around July, plus or minus.
They have some variants and some numbers that they're trying to work out, so they anticipate a delay. It didn't seem like a huge delay, but maybe
there's
2-3-4 weeks.
Yeah, there's some testing of the influid coming in so that the engineers know how much denitrification they need to take out.
And
that hasn't been completed yet. They're expediting that testing right now.
And that will determine whether which process we have to use.
Correct.
There's a huge difference in the costing of those processes.
So
we don't know that. We don't know.
Yeah, they're in the process of doing their final testing.
Are they confident that they're going to be able to get the state to go along with what achievable process they choose? Obviously, they wouldn't. Probably a dumb question. And then the one other thing you mentioned, the ultraviolet. There's an issue with the ultraviolet.
Well, not an issue at our plant. It's a matter of processing.
That's part of the
denitrification.
Sorry, thank you. I don't get to go to meetings anymore, so I just wanted to know.
Yeah, I'm not on Parks and Rec either.
Okay, moving on to Finance Committee Director Lee.
Yes, we discussed item D1.
That was the topic. Any other reportable items? Hearing none, we go on to General Manager's report.
No report.
Thank you.
Corporal saying he has a report.
I got caught up in the aftermath here, it's almost my last meeting.
almost the last.
Well, the answer it isn't, Virgil. Pardon? It is or it isn't.
This is not my last meeting. I have one more meeting to go.
Okay.
But
was your last meeting virtual, we would have had to.
I wish the public was here. Only the fact that for March 2019, our water production was 52% lower than 2013. And since then, we have added close to 500 new homes, which is probably a good 1,500 more residents in town. And we still had 52% for March, which is really good for this community.
Yeah, do you think it rained a lot during that period?
Well, it definitely does, but still, you didn't take long showers and that type of thing, so. All right.
That's great.
I just want to make sure
I stopped taking showers altogether. Just
so
stay with me.
Okay. Correspondence received to say Contra Costa Fire Protection District, Finance Committee. Moving on to L, future agenda items. Hearing none? Meeting?
Future agenda items?